新书《足尊牛堡》，真牛！特级板烧鸡腿堡，真带馅儿，麦香鱼真美妙。英雄精选，和你一起为奥运选手加油。
That's a McDonald's commercial in Chinese, hoping to sell some burgers to the most populous nation on the planet. One of the many Western corporations trying to cash in during the Beijing Olympics, which open tomorrow. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 past 7 on this Thursday, August the 7th. We'll talk this hour about the marketing blitz that is taking place along with the Summer Games, not only from the companies that want to make a buck, but from the Chinese government that wants to shine in the international spotlight. China may not be as successful as the companies, according to our guest this hour. We'll wonder what you think. We'll take your questions, too, as we go along. Dave Zirin is a sports writer for The Nation magazine. He's also the author of the forthcoming book, A People's History of Sports in the United States, which is due out in September. His article, China's Olympic Trials, is in the current issue of The Nation. Good morning.
Hey, great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. So you wrote in this article in The Nation, this is the Olympics the West wanted. What do you mean?
And that's something I think everybody should think about, because the easy thing to do over the next week or so would be to engage in that exercise of China bashing. And like, oh, look at China with its absence of freedom of speech. Look at China with its absence of freedom of assembly. Look at the way China is exploiting the global media attention to advance its own interests. I think we should remember each and every step of the way that China, the Olympics in China in 2008 in Beijing, is something that the West lobbied for. It's the reason why George W. Bush is going to be there on Friday for the opening ceremonies. That's going to be the first time a U.S. president was ever at the opening ceremonies of an Olympics when it was on foreign soil. And this is about the West wanting, as you mentioned, wanting to open up its influence to what they see as the largest reservoir of unbrand-identified consumers in the world.
Yeah, if the Olympics were happening in this country, these companies wouldn't be making as much money.
Not even close, because, I mean, it's from a marketing standpoint, just to explain it a little bit, it's generally thought that if you live in the United States and you're a Coca-Cola drinker, well, Pepsi is going to have a really tough time prying that Coca-Cola bottle from your hand. McDonald's, Burger King, same thing. But China, I mean, its quote-unquote middle class is right now estimated at being at roughly 250 million people, almost the size of the entire United States, and that's growing. And by middle class, I mean people with disposable income. And so what they see it as the largest untapped reservoir of potential consumers. And that's leading to some lovely ironic twists here. Like you mentioned McDonald's. McDonald's, their ad that they're showing in Beijing for the games shows a Chinese track star, Lin Shuang, and he's beating Western-looking runners across the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
And it's saying, "Go Beijing." Pepsi has introduced a new can that says, "Go Red with Pepsi." It's now a red can instead of a blue can. So it's like Pepsi's going red, you know, as in Chinese Communist Party
red. It's going to confuse people with Coke, though, isn't it?
it might, but it's meant to play less on people's Coke sympathies than loyalty to the Chinese Communist Party. So it's a weird thing. I mean, you're talking about 63 Western nations paying somewhere between $6 and $8 billion, which is roughly three times what corporate sponsors paid for the 2004 games in Athens. And the stakes are very high for them that the Olympics come off and come off smoothly.
I did read a little bit of some people saying they're going to boycott the companies that advertise during the Olympics or that are, you know, sponsors of the Olympics.
Good luck.
Yeah. Well, you don't think that's going to make it.
Well, it's like boycotting General Electric. I mean, boycotting. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not just talking about driving by the McDonald's on the interstate. I mean, when you're talking about these 63 companies, and people can look them up, you're talking about companies that have so integrated them in the day in, day out of American life. I mean, it would actually take a full-time job just to figure out how you would disentangle yourself from some of these companies.
Yeah.
And I mentioned General Electric. It's worth just taking a second to say, your listeners, I'm sure they know this, but General Electric, of course, also owns NBC, which paid $1.8 billion to broadcast the games. So if there is protest during the games, whether by athletes or by Chinese nationals, people may have to look a little extra closely to find that, because there is a lot of concern that NBC is going to soft shoe this thing throughout the games.
Yeah, you say that the companies might be more successful in marketing than China itself, that that this might backfire on China?
Well, that's an interesting point, because in China right now, and once again, this is not a story that's getting out there, but the tension is at a real fever pitch. I mean, China, the Chinese government has spent $40 billion on the games. And just to give people a point of comparison, Greece, 4 years ago, Athens, spent $9.5 billion on facilities for the games. And that was over budget by $8 billion. So they're spending $40 billion. It's unprecedented. Some estimates have it as high as 2 million people being displaced from Beijing for the purpose of the games, to make the, you know, really just all the facilities for the games. And this is causing a lot of tension inside the country as well. I mean, think about what's happened in China recently. 16 police officers killed at a border crossing. Mm-hmm. Just last week that happened. In Jizhou, there was a huge protest after it was thought that a young girl's murder was covered up by local police, 30,000 people. Hunan, there was violence against the local police department. And in Sichuan, you know, people may know Sichuan because that's where the earthquake took place, the horrible earthquake where entire school buildings fell on children. I mean, there have been people openly asking the question, why are our school buildings made from such horrible materials when $40 billion is spent on state-of-the-art facilities for the Olympics?
Yeah. We will talk after this weather break about China's reaction to President Bush. This morning we hear China is telling President Bush to mind his own business regarding his criticisms of China in the news yesterday. We'll talk more about that as well with Dave Zirin, sports writer for The Nation. He also has a website, edgeofsports.com, writes a monthly column for The Progressive magazine, and is the author of the forthcoming book, A People's History of Sports in the United States, due out in September. 1-800-642-1234, our toll-free number if you want to talk about the Olympics, marketing China, and marketing to China. 1-800-642-1234 and Madison 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. This afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. After 5, Ben and his guest will examine a new report, Test the Waters. From the Natural Resources Defense Council, it looks at U.S. ocean and Great Lakes beaches and their risk from pollution. That's coming up after 5 o'clock this afternoon. We're talking about the Olympics, and our guest who wrote an article in the current issue of The Nation about the Olympics, it's called the China's Olympic Trials. The main events at the Olympics may be in the marketing arena, not the athletic arena, as China tries to market itself to the world and Western businesses market their products to the most populous nation on the planet. We welcome your questions, your thoughts on this at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890. Are you looking forward to this year's Olympics, the Summer Games, or not? Does all the politics surrounding this turn you off? All the marketing around the Olympic Games turn you off? President Bush, on his trip to Asia this week before attending the opening ceremonies tomorrow at the Olympics, had this to say to China.
The United States believes the people of China deserve the fundamental liberty that is the natural right of all human beings. So America stands in firm opposition to China's detention of political dissidents and human rights advocates and religious activists.
And then China told him this morning to mind his own business. Dave Zirin, what do you think?
I think that George W. Bush has shown up to China hat in hand. And the fact that even those tepid comments earn a rebuke from China only gives you a sense about how weak the United States' hand is right now relative to China. I mean, China has been effectively underwriting the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan over the last several years. They've become the banker of the United States. And to think about everything that's happened over the last, frankly, over the last 8 years, I mean, first there was pressure brought to bear by the United States Olympic Committee to get the Olympics in Beijing in the first place. That's well known from the committee meetings that did occur there. And, but even more recently, just literally the week before, it might have even been just a couple of days before, China's brutal crackdown earlier this year in Tibet, you had Condoleezza Rice and the State Department take China off its list of countries that practice human rights violations. And, I mean, that was something that was just greeted with guffaws by the international community. I mean, it's all done to give China cover. And the fact that Bush is even going to those opening ceremonies in the first place, as I mentioned earlier, that's absolutely unprecedented. I mean, the Olympics have been going on since 1896, and never in all of that time has a sitting U.S. president been at the opening ceremonies of a Games that were not on U.S. soil. And yet here George W. Bush is, hat in hand.
Yeah, he said, though, he would use this opportunity to talk with the Chinese government leaders about their human rights record.
Yeah, and they just told him to mind his own business.
Yeah. Here's another. He said that change will come to China, President Bush, yesterday.
Change in China will arrive on its own terms and in keeping with its own history and its own traditions. Yet change will arrive.
Will change arrive, do you think, Dave?
I mean, not this way. I mean, one of the arguments that a lot of people are making inside China, human rights advocates inside China and outside China, is really the counterintuitive argument that the Olympics, far from accelerating the reform effort, which has been the argument of Bush in the West, actually retards the reform effort. And it's an argument that, having researched it, I'm very sympathetic to, because since you have the entire, at least global corporate community, rolling out the, pardon the expression, red carpet for China, I mean, what that means in practice is that they're saying to China, not you need to allow, you know, free union elections in your country, you need to stop jailing dissidents, and you will be brought into the community of nations. They're saying, we want you in the community of nations, and we like things just the way they are, because China has become a place, not only within that endless army of consumers that we talked about, but a place that's grown by, one thing I saw said, 900% the economy has grown over the last 30 years. I mean, this is a massive, massive, massive operation here that the West desperately not only wants a part of, but they feel that their economic future is dependent on China's at this point. And that hardly puts you in the position to ask for advances when it comes to human rights.
Yeah. You did write in your article, if Chinese leaders believe that that will release enough steam for smooth games, they could be in for a surprise. Olympic protests may extend beyond the parks. More than 200 athletes from Team Darfur will be wearing bracelets and speaking out against human rights abuses. You think that the protests during the Olympics itself could give China a black eye?
Well, it's very interesting because I wrote that before the news of yesterday, the biggest, let's just say, non-Brett Favre news in the sports world, which is that gold medalist from 2006, Joey Cheek, who's the brilliant speed skater from the United States, who was also the founder and president of Team Darfur, he was denied his visa
right
to travel to China.
And so,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, so he is the only one, though, right?
No, there's someone else as well. Her name is Kendra Zanotto, and if I mispronounce her name, I apologize to the Zanotto family. She was a bronze medalist in synchronized swimming. And not only that, though, but Ms. Zanotto was actually hired by the Olympic News Service, an official organ of the IOC, to go cover the Beijing Games. And she was denied a visa as well.
Well, how can China get away with that?
Well, they're getting away with it because, I mean, and please, if any of your listeners know otherwise, I've been reading this stuff like a hawk, although I haven't read anything this morning, and the IOC hasn't even issued a statement about it yet. I mean, its own medalists being denied entry into the country where the games are. I mean, it's really an outrageous state of affairs, and it says something. It just speaks to my general point here, which is that these are the games the West wanted. And, you know, no matter what it takes, they're going to make sure these games go off swimmingly, even though it's got a lot of people mumbling and a lot of people grumbling. And that's actually why I wrote that in the article, that we may see some flare-ups on the field itself, because it's not just about Team Darfur. I mean, it's also about the air quality in Beijing, which has gotten a lot of publicity, being so terrible that the greatest marathoner in the world, and once again, I apologize if I do damage to the name, but Haile Selassie, I butchered that, but he's a brilliant marathoner from Kenya. He is not going to the games. He's not going because he's so worried about the quality of air there. And you've got the United States actually distributed masks to all its athletes. Other countries have done this as well because they're so worried about the quality of air. So, you know, we're going to see what that means in practice, if that actually angers people enough to say something.
Yeah. Joey Cheek, the Olympic gold medalist and outspoken Darfur activist, was denied his visa just hours before he was set to fly to China. He issued this statement: "I am saddened not to be able to attend the Games. The Olympic Games represent something powerful, that people can come together from around the world and do things no one thought were possible. However, the denial of my visa is part of a systematic effort by the Chinese government to coerce and threaten athletes who are speaking out on behalf of the innocent people of Darfur." And it looks like China is going to get away with this, because it says here they don't need a reason to revoke anyone's visa.
Mm-hmm. And the irony as well is that the athletes in Team Darfur have had particularly taken a very soft approach in the months preceding the games, where they were encouraging their athletes to not boycott. They were encouraging political leaders to not even boycott the opening ceremonies. I mean, very much the approach of constructive engagement. Let's try to use the Olympics to have as public a dialogue as possible. And yet, that's not the case.
Well, some protesters protesting China and Tibet were arrested at the Olympic grounds yesterday, and China's really cracked down and has tightened security. What do you predict?
But they've set up protest zones, and this is going to be very familiar to anybody who's ever protested the Republican or Democratic National Conventions in the United
States.
Same
thing. That's right. The same type of thing, where you're a fenced-in area away from the grounds.
Exactly. Exactly. And you go. And but I'll tell you the twist, though, that in China is that they've actually set up these grounds where you can go protest, but you have to get your issue approved first with the police.
Yeah.
And that is, let's just say that's a disincentive for some people to walk into a Chinese police station and say what they want to protest.
I don't know why, Dave Zirin, we're not getting calls on the Olympics, but it could be because people are thinking about Brett Favre. Only a minute before a news break, what do you make of Brett Favre is a New York Jet now?
I mean, it's... Brett is a Jet. I mean, it actually blows my mind when I heard this news late last night. I will say that it's a bit of a... I feel for Brett Favre a little bit. I mean, he's going to a team that I don't think has even a whisper of a chance to make the playoffs. He's going to be in the media glare of New York City, so it's really the worst of both worlds. And he's, I think, going to learn this year a little something about humility, if you want to know the truth, because it's going to be a very difficult year for Brett Favre. And people in Wisconsin who have feelings of affection for Brett Favre after all his years of service will probably be watching this coming season with a bit of a lump in their throat as they look across to the East Coast and see what he's going through.
Yeah, we're going to check news and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 7:36 on this Thursday, August the 7th. Our guest this hour writes in this week's edition of The Nation, "This is the Olympics the West wanted. Games where the grandest prize is not a gold medal, but a glittering entree to China's seemingly endless army of potential consumers. This is the reason that George W. Bush will attend the opening ceremonies, the first U.S. president to do so on foreign soil, and that in March, mere days before the crackdown in Tibet, Condoleezza Rice laughably took China off the State Department's list of nations that abuse human rights." We are talking with Dave Zirin. He is the author of this article in The Nation, China's Olympic trials. He is a sports writer at The Nation. He also writes a monthly column for The Progressive magazine. His website is edgeofsports.com, and he is also the author of the forthcoming book, A People's History of Sports in the United States, which is due out in September. We're talking about the Olympics, the politics of the Olympics during this hour, not so much the athletics of the Olympics. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We welcome your feelings about the Olympic Games, which start tomorrow in Beijing. Our next caller, I should say our first caller, is Dave in Caledonia. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
The Chinese culture is probably 4,000 years old, and a two-week period where they get some coverage is not going to change things at all. I mean, it seems irrational as Brett Favre's behavior over the last month. You're not going to change the Chinese culture. We need to be careful of them not overwhelming us. You know, at least on the surface, they're capitalists, that sort of thing. But you know, eventually they're going to have more economic power than we do, and then our culture will be threatened because of that. So making grandstanding during this two-week period is not going to help the situation. You may want to maybe go through the back door and just show Chinese people what freedoms are by showing by example rather than criticizing.
Yeah, and so what do you mean, Dave, by what kind of grandstanding do you think is going on?
Just criticize, openly criticizing the Chinese government. They don't take kindly to that. I think a lot of it is actually one thing that President Bush did that I actually agree with once in 8 years, that he met with the Dalai Lama not too long ago. And the Chinese officials' reaction to that was overwhelmingly negative. And, you know, we really need to understand the culture before we make a lot of public statements and actually do more harm than good in the long run.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really complicated. We need probably people that understand the Chinese culture a lot better than I do to make decisions before public statements are made.
Mm-hmm. Dave?
Well, it's an interesting point. I would like to distinguish, though, between the grandstanding of political leaders and the idea of athletes, or even, frankly, people in China. I mean, who would we say knows the Chinese culture better than the people who actually live, breathe, and die in the country itself, and their rights to speak out, and their rights to dissent, and their rights to be three-dimensional political human beings? I mean, there is something rather noxious about George W. Bush lecturing to anybody about the issues like democracy and human rights when you think about just the stain of torture that now exists on his record over the last 8 years, the stain of Guantanamo Bay, the stain of Abu Ghraib. I mean, it's something that boggles the mind to think that he would be lecturing anybody about human rights. But when you think about somebody like Joey Cheek, somebody who won a gold medal in 2006, who believes in the Olympics, who believes in what they call the Olympic movement, you know, the idea that we could bring countries together through sports, and the idea that he would even be denied a visa, I think that we have every right to criticize the Chinese government for that. And especially then when we think about people who live inside China, who see $40 billion going to make Olympic facilities while they are scrapping by to make a living, and they want to say something about it, and they're getting five-year prison sentences for daring to pass petitions that say things like, please don't tear down my home to build an Olympic stadium. I mean, those are people, I think, who deserve our solidarity and respect.
Yeah. By the way, Kathleen Dunn, after 10 o'clock this morning on the Ideas Network, will be talking with the author of the book, The Last Days of Old Beijing, Life in the Vanishing Backstreets of a City Transformed. And it's about that very topic you just brought up, Dave, about tearing down homes to build the Olympic grounds. Thanks a lot to the caller. Lisa in Green Bay is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for having me. I had a question for the caller. I'm curious, you had talked a little bit about American companies marketing to the Chinese consumers, like, for instance, the Pepsi can being red. Do you think that the Chinese consumer is actually going to purchase this product and use it? Or are they going to, you know, look at it as just another thing from the United States?
Oh, that there's actually a very interesting question there. I mean, obviously, first of all, the corporations, they wouldn't be spending between $6 and $8 billion on this if they didn't think they could reach these consumers. And like I said, they consider themselves the greatest untapped reservoir of unbranded consumers. That's kind of a creepy phrase, but that's how the advertisers talk. Mm-hmm. Unbranded, it's almost a slavery connotation. Unbranded consumers in the world are in China. So they certainly think it's possible. But there's an interesting flip side that you mentioned about, like, will Chinese people fall for it? Because one of the fallouts of a lot of the protests, a lot of the, you know, Bush's statement that you mentioned, Joey Cheek raising some heck about this, is that it's also what it's done is it's inflamed a degree of Chinese nationalism and hostility towards Western products. And that's another one of the, it's so weird because we're talking about the Olympics and we're not really talking about any actual sports. But this might be one of the more interesting competitions, and that's between the will of Western capital to get in China and the anger that exists among Chinese citizens and the nationalism that it's engendering.
Yeah. Well, what about, though, the hope, the dream that the Olympics were politics should stay out of the Olympics?
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, first of all, historically, that's never been true. I mean, and you don't have to go back much farther than, well, these Olympics themselves, that it was really for political reasons that the Olympics were in Beijing in the first place. It was fought for by the Western nations on the International Olympic Committee. When it was pitched by Beijing, they made open statements about China's place in the world as an ascendant economic superpower and their desire. And their promise to actually see issues like human rights and freedom of the press, improvements made so the Olympics could come. So, I mean, it was always wrapped in politics even for them to come in 2008. So it's really about what politics are thought to be acceptable and what aren't, not that there are no politics there in the first place. And, of course, and I've written about this, the history of the Olympics is a history of politics from their founding in 1896 to them being, I'll give some of the low points, to them going to Hitler's Germany in 1936, mm-hmm. to their cancellation during World War II, to the way they played out during the Cold War, to the 68 games in Mexico City when protesters were killed to make the city safe for the Olympic Games. I mean, it's always been a political cornucopia, whether the Olympic officials choose to say to be oblivious to that or not.
Yeah, you know, we didn't talk about our previous caller's concern that any kind of criticism or grandstanding, as he put it, of the Chinese government was dangerous to the United States because China has us over a barrel.
Yeah, I mean, that is part of it, too, and I think that's why Bush is there, and I think that's why his criticisms have been so tepid, and that's also why China felt so confident to give W a big little smack there, even for saying something so tepid. And that is because China really does have the strong hand in the relationship with the United States right now. It's worth noting that that did not exist 8 years ago. It does exist today. And that's what happens when you try to simultaneously occupy two countries at the same time while giving tax cuts to the wealthiest Americans. I mean, the money has to come from somewhere, and it's come from China.
We're talking with Dave Zirin. He is sports writer for The Nation. He has an article in the current issue of The Nation, China's Olympic Trials. And we welcome your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 13 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Thursday, August the 7th. I'll be welcoming in journalist Thomas Frank after 8 o'clock, who says the goals of the conservative movement do not serve the majority of voters. We'll talk to Thomas Frank about his new book, The Wrecking Crew, How Conservatives Rule, coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now, we're talking with sports writer Dave Zirin. He's a sports writer for The Nation, and he also writes a monthly column at The Progressive magazine. And he is the author of the forthcoming book, A People's History of Sports in the United States. We're talking about the Olympics. And Chong in Madison is our next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, hi, Joey. Hi, David. Good morning.
Morning.
Yes. I'm Chinese living in Madison, Wisconsin. I just have a general comment regarding the Joey Chiki issue.
Okay.
Yes, I personally feel it's very unfortunate that it was declined visa to China. I was reading the comments regarding this news in Yahoo forum, and it is something like out of 500 comments, maybe more than 80% of them is like either anti-Chinese or anti-Chinese government, or say boycott Olympics games, which I personally feel very sad, because I think, I mean, this is an unfortunate event, but I think this is like a individual event. As a Chinese person, I'm proud the Olympics will be held in Beijing, held in China, and I hope people either have anti-Chinese or anti-Chinese government because the Olympics game is not just for Chinese government, is also for Chinese people, and if the people really want to know China, mm-hmm. I think this is a very good opportunity to go to either Beijing or the city around Beijing to see what is real China. This will really make them to understand what is Chinese, how Chinese living. So
hold,
I think it's great for China. So
Chong, do you not understand the anti-Chinese government sentiments that you're reading on those internet sites?
I understand them. Some of them is basically in general say Chinese government is just too bad, which shouldn't let them host the Olympic Games. But I think we should distinguish between the Chinese government and the Chinese people.
Okay.
I mean, I personally feel because personally, I think this is will be a very good opportunity for the world to see China, to come to China, to see a real China. So.
Yeah. Hold on, Chong. Dave Zirin, what about that? There's a difference, I guess, between the Chinese government and the Chinese people.
Of course, mm-hmm. Of course there is, and I'm glad Chong made the call in because it raises two points which I really want us to leave here thinking about. I mean, the first is that, as I've been saying over and over, that these are the games the West wanted, so to make China the sole bad guy in this morality play is just a mistake. And the second thing is that there are people in China who are striving for social justice, who the presence of the Olympics is actually giving the green light to China to keep them from their quest for greater political freedoms. And what we should fight against is what I call China bashing, which is this idea that, you know, you get this Cold War mentality that all of China's to blame, and you almost get a total war mentality. And it's unfortunately stoked a lot by the right, and it's something that people should consciously stand against. I mean, because what you are talking about right now is a conspiracy between the leaders of the Chinese Communist Party and Western corporations to end NBC, and the U.S. government, for that matter, to make sure these Olympics come off and come off well. Yeah. The Chinese people and their concerns have been certainly left out of this consideration.
Why is NBC included in that group?
Well, because they spent $1.8 billion to make sure that the Olympics are they can broadcast the Olympics. They have expressed concern about protests. They've done very little to cover any incipient protests. They've done very little to cover any of the demonstrations in the different provinces in China. And the fact that General Electric, independent of NBC, is one of the underwriters of the Games, it can only be seen as a conflict of interest. I don't see how it could be seen as anything but.
Yeah. Chong said that he wants people to watch these Olympics because it'll give them a chance to see the real China. Do you think that's possible?
I'm less optimistic about that, to be frank. And, I mean, and frankly, though, as of about a year ago, I was excited for that possibility because I envisioned a lot of stories about China getting out and us and really educating the world about one of the most fascinating countries on earth. But because the Chinese government is restricting where reporters can go, because they're restricting internet access on site, And because they're even restricting reporters who have a history of critiques of the Chinese Communist Party entering the country, what that means in total is that we're not going to get the kind of education about China that we, I think, would otherwise really benefit from.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Chong, for the call. We have full lines and very little time now. Willie in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Zarin, for what you've written. My understanding is that some of the reason that little George Bush is so enthusiastic about China and so promoting of it in many ways is that his uncles, Prescott Bush and Jonathan Bush, along with family friend Sun Myung-moon, are almost the three largest holders of industrial property and industrial production facilities among non-Chinese people. And I'm sure the concessions that Prescott and Jonathan got had nothing to do with the fact that George Herbert Walker Bush was the first ambassador to China back in the Nixon administration. How true are these sort of allegations that there's a huge amount of Bush crime family money invested in China, and certainly little George wouldn't want to mess that up, would he now?
I'm not aware of that, so I can't speak about it with any intelligence. But I would just make the counter-argument that this push towards liberalization of trade with China is not unique to the Bush family. I mean, it was a big controversy during the Clinton years when very little was done on the human rights front and China was granted most favored nation status, and with the support of the Clinton White House, China entered the World Trade Organization. So I really do think that when it comes to China's economic entanglement with the United States, it is a bipartisan issue, and if the Bush family has benefited along the way, that's just something I'm not aware of.
Yeah. Thanks, Willie, for the call. Anne in Dubuque is with us now. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just had an observation, or I didn't hear you talk about it. Yesterday, I believe, on the news, they were talking about athletes arriving in the airport wearing masks to...
Yep.
protect their lungs from the pollution that is high in China. And the Chinese government was highly offended. We apologized. We made our athletes apologize. Give me a break. Not only, you know, you're talking about our own people's human rights. These are athletes. They've trained their whole life to be where they're at. They're representing the U.S. And because they chose to protect themselves, their bodies, like they would, like drinking water, or, you know, the Chinese government is highly insulted, and we apologize. I don't understand that. I mean, that's a much more trivial matter than what we're discussing, but I think it speaks to the layers of control.
Mm-hmm. Dave.
Well, I agree with everything you said, except that it's trivial. I mean, I think it's actually a very important issue. I mean, athletes today, they spend so much time, so much money, so much of an investment of their money, lives, heart, soul. I mean, there's no cliche big enough to say it, to build for this one moment in the Olympics, and they're going to a country where the air quality is actually dangerous. I mean, it is dangerous for them. And those masks they were wearing were issued by the U.S. Olympic Committee. It's not that they brought those makeshift masks with them. It's that there is real concern about their lungs. And as I mentioned, the greatest marathoner in the world is not even attending the games because he is so concerned that the quality of the air will destroy him as an athlete, will actually do physical permanent harm to him. And so I think athletes have the right to protect themselves no matter where they are, whether they're in Beijing or the south side of Chicago. And so to see the U.S. OC apologize in that context when they're the ones who distributed the masks in the first place, I mean, I think that tells us something.
Thank you, Ann. Cabby in Viroqua. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy. Thank you so much for having David. Now I know how to pronounce his last name, too. David is incredible. I mean... because I'll tell you why your listeners will be able to relate to David is because David is the Howie Zinn of sports. I've read this book, Welcome to the Terror Dome. It's an incredible book. Anyone that could change my mind about Barry Bonds is an incredible writer. And
thank you.
I've been singing the praises of David ever since I've read this book and the other one about What's My Name, the other book. He's an incredible writer, and he's been kept out of the mainstream sports. And so it's really nice that you have him on, and I highly recommend your listeners to pick up the book. Well, David is just incredible.
Well, Cabby, I'm sure Dave appreciates that. And you have 30 seconds to give us a quick preview of your new book that's coming out.
Yeah, first I'd like to thank my dad for calling it. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I've got a new book coming out. It's called A People's History of Sports in the United States. You mentioned Howard Zinn. It's part of Howard Zinn's People's History series. So it's got that Howard Zinn seal of approval, and it's a look at the history of sports in this country, told from the perspective of athlete activists, fans, and the people actually trying to make history, not just make sports history.
Well, we'll look forward to it, and I hope you'll come back when it's out.
Oh, my privilege. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Dave Zirin, sports writer for The Nation, also has a column in The Progressive, and we'll talk to him again. Thank you for joining us. Thanks to Rob Ferret, Cynthia Schuster, and Michelle Kofel for producing The Hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Ideas Network.